Thank you, Jesus, that this morning we do not just celebrate that you died for us, but that you rose for us. And that when you declared, "It is finished," you full well meant it. And now you invite us to come as we are into your presence and to get into your word and to hear from you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Thank you that you are here with us, God. In your mighty name, we pray these things. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Family, this morning we are carrying on in our series, Gifted to Give, which is a series actually on spiritual gifts, in case you haven't picked up on that so far. We've been in it for 4 weeks. We've got another, this is the fifth week, sorry, and then we've got another 4 weeks after that. And last week we took some time to look at the great gift giver, the Holy Spirit. We looked at the person of the Holy Spirit as in, like, who he is. And what you'll see here was kind of like this timeline where we journeyed the activity of the Holy Spirit through Scripture, not only Old Testament, but New Testament, now and in the future. And that was no small feat. And I don't, Pastor Cameron, were you here this morning? I don't think so. No. Well, I just wanted to honor him and just say that that was massive. Like, there is no small feat to look at the meta-narrative, the big picture of Scripture, and go, okay, where was the Holy Spirit working throughout? That is massive. And even though he's not here, I just want to just say how thankful that I am that we have Campbell, who, like, took on that challenge, because that's massive. And there is no... that's no small feat. And so if you haven't yet heard that message, then I want to just encourage you to go to the podcast at podbean.com. Just search City Bible Church NZ. You can listen to it there or on iTunes. And you'll get to see kind of like this journey that we went on last week. And I really want to encourage you guys to do it, because it is so important to understand the person of the Holy Spirit, or to even just start to understand the person of the Holy Spirit before we look at the spiritual gifts, because he is the one who gives them. And so, just want to encourage you guys that if you did not hear that, then I just want to just encourage you guys to head that way. But this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this chapter is a massive chapter with so many things going on in it. And so if you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, feel free to open them now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would like a Bible, throw your hand up and one of the host team will get one to you. There are so many things that are going on in this particular chapter, but at the core of it, there is this essential truth. There is a essential truth or way that has to be understood to firstly see the gifts being used for the reason that they were given, and secondly, to get a greater understanding of the spiritual gifts themselves. Firstly, to understand how to use them, and also to understand, like, what they are in themselves. And so we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4 this morning. And like I said, this is a big chapter, so I'm not going to dare do a Campbell like last week and try to tackle that much scripture, because I do not have the capacity for that. But I still think that God has a mighty word for us this morning. And so from verse 4 it reads this: "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." And now there are a couple of really important things to note from these three verses. And the first thing is that here again, we see the Godhead, or like a theological term, the Trinity at work. And it's really important to pick up on that, to notice that within these three verses, we have the Godhead at work. So verse 4, you'll see, come up on screen. Verse 4, it says, different gifts, same Spirit. And that is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, different acts of service, same Lord. And that's God the Son or Jesus Christ that it's referring to there. And then verse 6 says, different kinds of working, same God. And there we have God the Father. And so here we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in complete unity. And so when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth about spiritual gifts, the first thing that he highlights is so important to pick up on. Firstly, he highlights where the gifts come from, God. Through the Holy Spirit, yes. But he highlights where they come from, God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all have a part to play in seeing the church active in using their gifts. And the second thing that he highlights is how they are meant to be used, which is in unity. Verse 4 to 6 show us that the gifts themselves have two things, and these are like two points to take away from this morning, that the gifts have these two things. They have a unity in their source, or where they're from, and a unity in their purpose, what they are to be used for. And so here we have this God, our God, who is at complete unity with himself. And we have the three persons of the Godhead who are co-equal with one another. And they're working together to see about the restoration of creation and to win back to them or him what was originally taken from him in complete unity. And they're working together. And so in this passage, which is talking about spiritual gifts, it's important to notice that Paul starts talking about this. But he also highlights that there is a unity in their source, as in where they're from, which is what we just talked about, but also a unity in their purpose, what they're to be used for. And that's what we're exploring this morning. And so verse 7 to 10 go on to list a bunch of spiritual gifts. And I'm going to say now that there is no way that I am tackling this list this morning, because there are some really important foundational pieces that we need to look at before we even go there. But it talks about gifts such as the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, of faith, of healing, of miraculous powers, of prophecy, of distinguishing between spirits, of speaking in different tongues and interpreting tongues. And then verse 11 says this, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And now this morning, we could have really easily gone straight to, because we're talking about spiritual gifts and we're in a series talking about spiritual gifts, we could have gone to the list in this passage and the other passages that talk about, which list spiritual gifts. But what Paul is saying here is key if we want to see the gifts used for what they're meant for. What Paul is saying in this passage is key if we want to see the gifts used for what they're meant to be used for. To unite the church, to build up the church, to encourage the church, to strengthen the church, to see the church, CBC is a part of that church, to see it grow and become more and more healthy, and ultimately to give God all the glory. And there is yes, a source in terms of where these gifts have come from, but we also have to acknowledge that there is a reason that these gifts have been given. And it is so important to tackle that, to go there. The passage then carries on from verse 11, talking about a diverse, This is really important. A diverse and yet united church. And Paul uses this picture or this metaphor as an example, and it's the human body. And it's an example of how something can be so diverse, as in like every part of the human body is so different from every other part of the human body, yet it is united. It's healthy. It's working together. And the reason this is so important is because so often, or maybe not even so often, but there is a regular occurrence where we can focus so much on what the gifts are that we forget to focus on why they were given. Really important line there. That we can focus so much on what the gifts are that we forget why they were given. There is a purpose in the gifts that God has given you. And it is so important to realize that and to identify with that truth. Because all of a sudden, when we do that, we start to go on this journey where we realize what these gifts are actually about and why we've been given them and what can be accomplished through using them. And the thing is this, we have a really, really cunning enemy. We have a really cunning enemy, Satan. And he knows that when the church of God is united and each believer is using their gifts that God has given them, then they are unstoppable and he is in danger. What does that do to you when you hear that? That the devil himself knows that when the church is in complete unity and using the gifts that God has given them, then he freaks out. And he knows he's in danger because the church is unstoppable. Because our God who has given these gifts are. And that is an amazing truth. But we do have this enemy who takes what was meant to unite us and he uses it so often to divide us. He takes what was meant to empower us and he uses it to disillusion us. Where we focus so much on what the gifts are that we forget why we have them. And so we go back, we take a step back again and we celebrate in this truth that when the church is completely united, as a family here at CBC, we are united in understanding what God has done for us and we celebrate his gospel and we declare his truths and we step into the gifts that he has given us, then our enemy will flee. He will flee. He has to. Because we are unstoppable. Not because of what we're managing to conjure up. Not because of a strength in ourselves. But because the Holy Spirit who rose Christ from the dead lives in you. Lives in you. And he has given you gifts to bless his church. And to see you grow in your own spiritual health. And so this morning and throughout the series, we have a decision to make. Are we going to allow these to unite us or divide us? Because if it starts to divide us, we know exactly where that's from. We know exactly where that's from. And I feel so strongly that I have to speak to this morning. Because we see throughout the history of the church, division and confusion, especially over this. And we know where that comes from. Because the gifts were given to unite his church, his bride, who he dearly loves and died for. And yet, we see it crippling so many Christians and so many churches. And so, I wasn't going there this morning, but I went there. Sorry, whānau. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry. I believe so strongly in understanding the truth that we can not only get our heads around what the gifts are, but why we've been given them, and the purpose is to unite us. Recently, As many of you would know, I've had a spat of ill health. And that was what I was referring to over the last couple of interesting weeks. I've had this interesting spat of ill health, and I was meant to be speaking, I think, the last two Sundays, and I haven't. And this is my first time up. Praise Jesus for what he has done in my body. Yeah, just want to declare that goodness right there. Anybody else excited? Or just me? Yeah, maybe just me. I hate lying in bed. Oh. But one morning, I woke up feeling fine. But by that evening, I was admitted into hospital with severe pain. That it was completely debilitating. I was struggling to breathe, and I couldn't walk on my own. It was intense pain. And after being visited by several doctors and nurses, I was visited by a verse. No, I wasn't. It's all right. You guys can laugh. We're all family here. David said a silly thing. There we go. Visited by a couple of doctors and a couple of nurses, and they decided that I had appendicitis and that I would have to have my appendix removed. And so I did. And so I now stand in front of you, one member of my body down. A part of my body is gone. I am the hybrid version of what I was before. I am lighter and faster and stronger and none of those things. Maybe lighter. And so when I started reading through this passage, I actually found myself relating to what Paul was writing. Now, what I'm not saying is that God had me go through this operation and procedure so that I would have the sermon illustration. But what I am saying is that my God has an amazing sense of humor. And he knew that, funnily enough, I was going to be in this passage and that I was going to start relating really well to it because of my physical self. I found my spirit connecting to what God was saying to me. Isn't he good? Yeah, come on, family. And over the last couple of weeks, as I've been reading through this passage, I have been learning a lot. I've been learning a lot. And so I want to just jump back into 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to power through a fair segment of scripture, because I just want to you guys to get an idea of kind of what I've been reading through whilst in hospital and lying in bed sick at home and so on and so forth. So we're reading from verse 15 now. So if you guys just want to get there, it says this. It's also going to be up on the screen. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them. Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made this morning? That is a powerful truth. Despite how you're feeling, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God marvels over you and how wonderfully made you've been made. Just sit in that truth for a while. It just knocks your socks off. But in fact, verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so what I've been learning over the last few weeks is that when body parts do what they're meant to do, it means that they are healthy and that the rest of the body actually benefits from that. Now, you might be thinking, Dave, that's a little bit of a given. But it's amazing how a spat of ill health can actually make you take a step back and review this kind of thing. That when a body part does what it's meant to be, it means it's healthy. And the rest of the body benefits. But this is the flip side. When a body part does what it's not meant to be, to do what it's meant to do, that it means it's unhealthy. and that it actually has a dramatic negative effect on the whole body, and that it can actually cause a lot of pain when a body part does something it's not meant to do. It can actually cause a lot of pain. And you see, it is the same thing with God's church. This picture is a powerful picture because it says this in verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There is an amazing picture of health and unhealth going on in this particular passage. It could be said something like this: if one part is in pain, then the other parts are going to feel it. And if one part is in health, then the other parts are going to benefit from it. Now that might seem like logical, and it is, because God designed it, and he designed you. And so it makes sense for this imagery to work so flipping well. Verse 27 carries on saying this: now, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. Each, what does it say? One of you. Each one of you. Put your name in there. Dave is a part of it. Now you are the body of Christ, and Dave is a part of it. Put your name in there. Think on that. You are a part of it. You are an important part of the body of Christ. God loves you like crazy, so much so that he gave everything for you so that you could know him personally. And when in that moment you believed, you received his spirit in you so that no one or thing could ever take you from God. That is an amazing truth. That his spirit is in you, and that is a promise that no one or thing can ever take you from him. And when he placed his spirit in you, you were immediately included into his community. The church, and as a member, as a part of the body, as Paul puts it, there are some things that you don't get to do. And this is where we're wrapping up this morning. There are some things that we don't get to do when it comes to the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you, that Paul makes really clear in this passage. And the first one is this. The first point that Paul makes in this passage is that you don't get to write off your own contribution. You don't get to write off your own contribution. That you don't get to determine how good God's gift is to you. It's his gift. And it's good because he is. And so you don't get to have a say. You don't get to write off how important this gift is to you or the church. You don't get to play it down. You don't get to suppress it or discount it. In a way, we can ignore it, but that is a dangerous thing to do. You are a much loved, and this is super important, so every eye looking at me now, every eye, this morning, you are a much loved and incredibly valued member of this church here at CBC. And if nobody has ever told you that before, then I am sorry, because we have missed the boat. You need to know that you are loved and you are valued and that you are valuable, and CBC as a family, we need you. We need you. So much so, because what God has placed in you is a gift unlike any other that he wants to use to grow you and to build up his church. And that is amazing. The second thing that we don't get to do is this. We don't get to write off others' contributions. That's really important, because we can easily stop and go, okay, so I don't get to write off my own contributions. That's cool. I'm going to start pursuing that and asking God more about that and so on and so forth. Hopefully not in such a blasé manner, by the way. but we can also miss the fact that we don't get to write off others' contributions, that the hand doesn't get to say to the foot, look, you're a little different. You're a little bit different, and you kind of do things different to how we do it, and it's a little bit weird, and so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, going to go out on a limb here and say that you don't belong. One body part does not get to say that to another. You belong. You belong. You belong here and now. God wanted you to hear this word. I needed to hear this word. I needed to hear this word. You need to hear this word. Because this word changes so much when we realize that God loves you like crazy. And he has given you his spirit, and his spirit has given you gifts that are unique to growing your own health spiritually, relationally, with God himself, but also others. And so what I would say this morning is don't cheat yourself. Do not cheat yourself or others from the gift that God has given you to build, to encourage health in your own spiritual life and to build up the church. Because that's why we've got them. And that's why at the start we said it's so, quite often we can focus on the gifts and forget why they've been given. They've been given to build up the church, to unite the church, to bless the church. And get this, this is the crazy, like, God turning everything upside down thing is that you are the church. And so literally, as you bless others, as you build others up, as you encourage others with your gifts, and you build the church up, you're doing the exact same thing for yourself. Because you are it. It's like this circle of life, you could say. It's a circle of gifts. It's not really. That was really bad. I am sorry, whānau. But anyway, there is an amazing and beautiful, powerful truth in this, that as you use the gifts that God has given you and you build the church up, CBC as a church, and also capital C church, like big church, universal church, God's church, as you do that, you are going to also be built up because you are the church. We don't go to it, we are it. And that is why the devil knows that when the church is united and is using the gifts that God has given them, then we are unstoppable and he is in danger. Oh, it's good. It is good and it is powerful and it changes so much when we realize that. I'm going to finish by saying this, and as I finish it, we're going to go into a time of worship. So, team, do you want to just come on up? And we're going to sing to God after this. But I want to finish with a couple of sentences, and I might actually just read it out because it says it really well. God didn't send his son. Give us his spirit and empower us to change the world, all to not get along. God did not do all of those things so that we would not get along. God has given you so much, and he did not give it to you so that you would not talk to the person across the aisle from you. That is not an option in God's church. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. But what it does mean is that God has given you everything you need to talk to that person and to love that person and to build that person up. And as you do that, guess what? You're going to grow. You're going to be built up. And you, in turn, will be blessed. God has made us all very different and yet drawn us into community. And the Spirit has given us all very different gifts as he determined. Not that we would be divided, but united. Not divided, but united. Growing together and building one another up in love. In love. In love. In love. In love. And I have to stress that, because that is where Paul goes at the end of this chapter, where he says in the very last verse of this particular chapter, now let me show you the most excellent way. Let me show you the most excellent way. And then he moves into what most would consider the greatest chapter in Scripture written on love. And he says, if I do all of these amazing things and I don't love, it's nothing. It's nothing. And so, yes, the gifts have been given to unite us, but they've also been given to be used in a very specific way, in love. In love. Say it with me. In love. In love. And it will change so many things in this whānau here, in this family. That is God's word. That is His promise. And that is where we're going in this series. And over the next few weeks, we are going to be exploring what it is, firstly, to use our gifts in love, and what are the gifts. But my word, and amongst all of that, is if at any moment you sense a bit of, I don't know about that person, starting to freak me out. I don't know. They're looking awfully different to me, especially in this new light. I don't think I can be a part of this family. Or I don't feel like I can be, they should be a part of this family. If you ever hear that whisper, if you ever have those thoughts, just like if I ever have those thoughts, I know where they're coming from. And they are not the intention of these gifts. Unite, not divide. Unite, not divide. In love. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord God, we just, we lift your name on high. God, there is no not one like you, Jesus. And we praise you that you have sent your Spirit. And it's crazy to think that you said that, hey guys, I'm going to go away, but in fact, I'm going to send someone who is greater than I. And it is the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead, now lives in us and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that we need and has placed in us unique gifts to be used to grow us and build up the church. And God, we give you thanks. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are in complete unity and you are at work and you are doing a thing amongst us, including now. And so we just come into a place of adoration and worship, and we will lift our hands and we will get on our knees, God, and we will just declare your goodness, because there is no one like you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you will do. Yeah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Family, feel free to stand and sing when you are ready.